Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us here on this rainy day, but it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I believe that when we come and expect, God shows up. He said, if two or more gather, he is with us. And man, I can tell you, even in prayer this morning, as we are praying, you could just feel the presence of God. And I believe that he has something special for you today, because that's who he is. He cares for each and every one of you, and he knows where you are and what you're facing. We're in the middle of a series here talking about creating culture. And in Proverbs 29, verse 18, it gives us a statement. It says, where there is no vision, people perish. And this is a statement that's been known, it's been said, and it's funny. It's even heard in the business world. On one particular occasion, I was teaching to some business leaders, and I made this statement, where there is no vision, people perish. And it was funny because those that were believers, they were like, I know what you're thinking, yeah. And then those that weren't were like, wow, that's good, write that down. Because it's a statement that is true. Because where there is no vision, people perish. You have to have a vision to believe beyond. But yet one of the most beautiful things about the church is God has given us his vision, amen? His word tells us what his vision is. And at the Crossing, we have just begun to say, okay, Lord, you have showed us what that is, but how can we communicate that with others? How can we share it with others that they can understand? Where it's not just simply something we say, but it's something we live. It's who we are. It creates, essentially, a culture. When you look at the Word of God, there are two main scriptures that literally just lay out why we are here, what our purpose and our vision is. And we know them as the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, tells us what? To go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to make disciples and let people know about the message of hope, about Jesus and who he is. And so one of the ways we simply say that to remember is we believe our heart, according to Scripture, is to be a local church with a global mission. See, that's who God has called us to be. Not simply just to say, well, it's just about us. Let's have our little church service and enjoy life. But if you look at the Great Commission, it is a commissioning from Jesus to us as followers of Christ to share hope, to share peace with everyone. So our heart is to be a local church with a global mission. But we also see the Great Commandment in Matthew chapter 22. What is that? It's very clear. It says what? Jesus was asked, he said, what do you think is the greatest commandment? He says, well, it's pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And the second is equally important. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. So when we look at that and we say, okay, what does that mean for us? Well, for us, just simply define, it's to know Jesus and to make him known. We are here as a body of believers to know Jesus and make him known. When it gets down to, I mean, you can say all these things, you can quote all these things, but the Great Commandment, the Great Commission are very clear in our relationships, in our lifestyle, how we should live. And when you break down to the simplest attributes, what does that look like? Well, that's when it begins to create culture. And culture in itself is an interesting thought. Why do we even think about this? Well, how do we reconnect people essentially to the vision of God? Because there has to be a connection. There's a disconnect. Oftentimes we as believers and even people are new to the church. We come to church and we think, well, it's just all about just coming and showing up and doing our weekly routine. But it's so much more than a weekly routine. It is a lifestyle of connecting to the one true living God. Process that for a moment. There are many gods in this world. There are many religions in this world. But we serve the one true living God, the one who is above all gods. Others are simply statues. Others are simply thoughts, simply mystical beings. But we serve the one who is above all gods. Isn't that amazing? And yet we have this opportunity to connect to this and say, okay, so how does that connect in our lives? What do we live? Well, when you look at the word culture, here's how it's defined. It's the attitude and behavior and characteristic of a particular social group. And so here's a thought we've been saying. If that is true, here's what we can define it for ourselves as it's just living in life in general. That culture can define you, or you can define culture. You can live in a certain culture. You move to another country. There's a different culture. You either adapt or you create your own culture. Very clear. You can live within different areas of the United States and know there's a different culture. Amen? I mean, You can go to the rural areas. You can go to the inner city. There are different cultures. Why? Because that's just a group of people. It's how they behave. It's who they are. But here's what's important to understand. Culture can define you, or you can define culture. You can simply say, well, that's just who I am. This is a part of what I live in. Or you can say, no, I'm going to choose to create a culture that brings life. Because culture dictates the environment. Track with me here. And the environment controls what lives and dies. Any environment, there are certain species that can't live outside of their environment. Because the environment controls what lives and dies. And culture at its core controls what lives and dies. So when I'm looking at this, the reason we're sharing this sermon series with you, the reason we're trying to convey this to you, is that you can grasp the importance that what we're saying is, and what we're walking through over the next few weeks, is not simply just a good idea. It's not simply just, well, these are some scriptures and here's what God's word says to do. It's that we, as a body of believers, we as people who are experienced Christ or on that process to experiencing Christ, that we have said, okay, I want to see what this is about. I want this to become a part of my life. I want it to change me. And so what we're doing is we begin to break down five key elements, essentially what we're calling culture statements, that are needed for a local church with a global mission to know Jesus and to make him known. And the first one we talked about last week, if you'd like to listen to it, you can go to the podcast. It's on the website. You can see notes on there and YouVersion as well. And you can follow even today with YouVersion. If you go to the events tab, you look in the notes section and all the notes for today are there as well. But you can find these notes. But here's the process. The first one we believe, the first key element, the culture statement for us to live, is that every person matters. And not just to simply say, well, every person matters, but to live in a way that people matter. Because if we're being honest with ourselves, if we're being transparent, there are often many times that we say people matter, and they matter until it interrupts our routine. True? Like, oh yeah, I care for them. But then whenever it interrupts our routine, we're like, I don't know if it matters near as much. And so we listed out some statements to basically say, this is how we can live. This is what it looks like to treat every person as they matter. The first one is to treat people as people, not objects. Next one, to pray for them, to extend God's grace to them, to invest and care for them, to celebrate and encourage them, and to love them. And we dove deeper into that last week. You can look into that. But this is vital, to treat every person as they matter. And it's not simply saying they matter, but going out of your way to exhibit Christ's love in how you act towards people. Remember, we issued a challenge that when you went to the restaurants and things, that you would make a choice last week. When you go through life, that you would make a choice to begin to say, hey, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be loving. I'm not going to get frustrated and irritated, but I'm going to allow Christ's love to shine through me. The second element that we're going to talk about, the culture statement, that is so vital in, I believe, us becoming a church, a local church with a global mission that knows Jesus and to make him known, is understanding that everything begins and ends with family. Take a look at how this applies here at the Crossing.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Love and tradition of the grand design, some people say it's even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls. Cause all I see is a tower of dreams, real love bursting out. Smother the blues with tenderness. There's room for you, room for me, for gentle hearts and opportunity. It's the bigger love of the family.
Family is the one thing you need in life.
Family to me means
people that you care about, or they care about you. You can get them out of situations if you need to, and you don't just call them for money.
People who support you, who care for you, and they won't give up on you. It doesn't matter if they're just your friends or by blood. They're there for you no matter what. They don't care about when you mess up. They just support you through it, and they try and help you.
Family, it's really hard to describe. Family, they're always there for you when you need them, and always there to help and lend a helping hand.
There's no right definition on family, but family is someone that you love, family that helps you. There's family, like, there's family that you can just sit around, play video games together with. There's families that, you know, work together, trying to make things right. And it's like, it's kind of like your own, it's kind of like your own team of workers. Like, if you're, like, developing something or something like that, it's like a group of workers working together. But instead of working on a specific project, you're just trying to work out in life.
Family is really a group of people that you can share your range of emotions with. Love, anger, happiness, joy, sadness. People that will always be by your side no matter what.
We've never really seen family as DNA related. It's always been your family or those that are there for you and those that you are willing to be there for.
The people you can be yourself. That's really family.
The people who help you to improve.
We're all on the journey.
You come from a big family.
Yeah, very, very big family. Very big family. So my family here is not really that big. We're
tiny.
About, I guess just about home.
Yeah.
For the rest of my family. But everyone has their role in the household. Everyone has their, you want to say, their time, their spotlight. So we just try to make the most and celebrate, you know, us going through life and making sure we're capturing those moments and remembering those moments.
But we always teach the kids that family is everything. When you don't have anybody else in the world, you always have your family.
All right. I love that family. If you've met the Marshalls, give them a hand. You can't help but love the Marshalls. You know, we go back a long time. For the sake of time, they couldn't even include all. We were a football family before they ever came a part of the church. And, you know, I love them dearly because we've learned, we live life together. Matter of fact, what's funny, we talk and we're like, man, it's crazy how much we parent the same. And we just have a lot of similarities, but they're just incredible people. But what they said is so true. You know, we talked about it last week, how, as the, you, many of you may not know if you're visiting with us today, that there was a family in the church that went through a hard time, and many of these families, including the Marshalls, said, hey, we're going to allow those kids to come be a part of our family because we want to be connected, because we are a family. We're not individuals. We're on this life together. We're together to say we are individuals. We're going to work together, and we're going to love each other. As they were saying, family means having someone to love you unconditionally. Not just for money, right, Torrance? I mean, it's not just about money. They love you no matter what. They love you through shortcomings. They love you through the valleys. They love you through the mountains. They're there for you because that's what family is. We're here for each other. But yet so many times we talk about family, but we don't really live it out. There's an old song. Growing up, I played it for Gracie this week, and she fell out laughing because it was in the 90s. How many of you remember those good days of the 90s? And a band by called Jeff Moore in the Distance, just out of curiosity, anybody remember Jeff Moore in the Distance? Could you raise your hand? I would love to see this, like three of us, all right? So there was not a major band. I'll give you that. But, you know, as the 90s rock starts jamming, Gracie's like, what is that? I'm like, listen. This was cool. Like, I'm telling you, it was cool. But they had a song called A Friend Like You. And it was funny because it says, the Lone Ranger and Tonto, Laurel and Hardy, Batman and Robin, there was Snoopy and Charlie. They're friends through the thick and thin, friends to the very end. And when you think about that, that's what friendship is. We all go through that, and all of us, we desire that. Because here's what you have to understand. Everyone desires to be connected, loved by someone. We all do. We want that connection. We want somebody to say they love, somebody that accepts us for who we are. Everyone desires to be connected. We desire that in our lives. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We don't want to be simply our, just live life alone. We want somebody to help us when good times, to celebrate with us, in sad times, to mourn with us, to say, hey, we're all in this together. We want that for ourselves. If you look at it, it's why we have so many different social groups out there. It's why you have the athletes. They all connect because they have a common bond. You have music. They all connect with music. You have academia, whatever. Whatever that may be, whatever the interest group may be, they all connect in that way. Why? It's why you have so many different identities. People trying to identify with somebody. Can you identify with me? Because they're looking for acceptance. The whole purpose of it is someone to accept them for who they are. But yet when you look at the body of Christ, when you see the example that God laid out for us, we are a family. The Bible explains that we're a family of God, that we connect together as family. And when we make the statement at the crossing, we are family, what does that mean? Well, let's walk through some of these thoughts. One of them, when you look, Kashmir said just a moment ago, says we are all connected as family, whether through blood or through Christ. You may have some sitting in this room that are family because they are related to you. Some are connected by family because through marriage. Some are connected through family just, you know, as a part of a friendship. But when you are a part of the family of God, we are all family. We are a part. And it's not just this church. It's believers all across this world. Because we believe that Jesus is the one true living God, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again for us, and we commit our lives to him. And it makes us as a part of the family of God. And so you have to understand that that is God's design. That's who he is. Romans 8:16 through 18 says, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share with his glory, we must also share with his suffering. Look at 1 John 3:10. So now we can tell we are the children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously does not love others and does not belong to God. In other words, saying that if you accept Christ with your heart and you come, you are joined into the family of God. Those who do not know Christ, they're not there yet, but they're on a journey to get there. And we want to literally create an environment where we can say we're all family. We're in life together. Yes, life has great times. Yes, life has challenging times. That's why we have to join and create an environment, a culture that we can say, let's extend the love of Christ. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. But on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So what is it saying? We're here together. It doesn't matter if we are blood relation. It doesn't matter ethnicity. It matters that we love each other and we accept each other and say, hey, we're all in this together. We're all walking this life together. And I want to be there. I want to help you however we can. It also means that we believe that life change happens best through relationships. Life change happens best through relationships. Because as we said last week, it's the old statement that you've heard so many times, but it's so true. People don't care what you know till they know that you care. And when you extend that care and you treat them as every person matters and you create an environment that says, hey, we're all a family. Come be a part of our family. Guess what? It begins to open and soften the paradigms within their lives that they're willing and able to accept who God is and begin to experience God's love. If not through scripture, through experience, because you are being Christ in your examples in your life. But we're also here to grow each other and to help each other develop and know more of who God is. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. An example we see of this in team and family and development is often portrayed in sports. You see it. You know, they try to tell you, hey, in sports, we're developing a team, a family. And why are they doing that? Because they recognize that you need each other. You know, you've heard it, you know, that there's no I in team, and the team is only as strong as its weakest link. All these statements. But the truth behind, they're trying to create a family atmosphere. They're trying to make everybody feel as if they're valued. They're trying to let everybody understand that they have a purpose and a role in this family, in this team. Because when you begin to build relationships with others, when you begin to say, hey, I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to care for you, you know what happens? It begins to shift inside of you. It softens some of the hard shell around your heart. You begin to say, hey, these people are real. You realize some people, that's how they experience Christ. Oftentimes, when they have a disconnect of who Christ is, they begin to see the love of Christ exemplified through somebody else's life. Not that that person's life is perfect, because there's no perfect person in this world. But it begins to show them that these people are different. And they're different because they understand the love of God. They treat people as they matter. And they create a family, and they want me to be a part of that family. That's when things begin to break down. One of the things we like to do, a lot of the guys, is they have groups where they go play sports. And it can get competitive. I tell you, they played soccer. And you always know the week we didn't. Like this week was the last. We played football last week. So when you see guys walking around like this, that was the week before, right? You know, and I know you other guys are like, yeah, I'm not going to go out there because I'm going to get hurt. And you know, you do. And then you come, you're the one limping in the next week too. This last week, you know, they played basketball, which can be rather physical. And girls. I mean, I'm telling you what, Becky caught a pass and they didn't even know what to do. She like went hard at it. She was running. They're all like, whoa, whoa. It got real, real quick, you know. And the kids, we had kids playing with them too. And we were playing a game of football. But here's the interesting thing. You break into teams and you start cheering for each other. You start helping. What you don't even realize is you're building relationships, and it begins the process. It becomes a catalyst for life change. It's simple, it's little, it's nothing. But you begin to experience and know people for who they are. And it's a fun thing to do. If you'd like to come, they'll plan it out, let them know. But it's all a part of just saying, hey, we're going to be in this together. We're going to join life together. We're going to walk this. Why? Because we believe life change happens best through relationships. Because when you connect with people, what happens? It connects them to who Christ is in you. And then from that, they get to experience God's love. And many people will not come to church. But through those relationships, they'll develop a relationship with you. And then from that, God opens up into their lives. Another element that's huge in this process of everything beginning in with family is that God's love is expressed best when we care for others. Think about this. His love is expressed best. Not that you can say things or that there's not power in the Word of God, because there is, absolutely. But can I tell you something? As we said before, when you extend care and show people you truly care, it means way more than simply saying God loves you and bless you and I'll pray for you. Those are good things to say, but they're hollow until they become a part of who we are. And it can't be simply something we say. It has to be something we live, something we do, and show the love of God through care and others. I mean, when you look at this, this is how the first century church expanded. On this principle, in Acts chapter 2, right after the church had an explosive growth from 120 in the upper room to over 3,000 that got saved that same day, you have this group of people who said, What are we doing with what just happened to us? Well, let's live life together. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, let's just look at it for a moment because you can see exactly how they begin to live life. It says, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day. They met in homes for the supper, Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, you think about this. We want to do life together. We want to find this community, but it starts with us loving each other. It starts with us spending and caring for each other. There are times that we can celebrate, but there are also times that we're sad and we mourn. You know, it's good to have the Wolf family with us. You know, they've gone through a season over the last couple months. We lost Ben. Many of you remember him. They always sit right here. He sat right there by there, and he'd tell me one day, I said, Brother Ben, you okay over here? He said, yeah, I'm close to the bathroom. You know, he would sit right there, and we'd laugh, and we'd cut up, and we share many things. But I want to say many of you were able to help provide some meals for them. That's showing we care. We care, but it's showing. Some of you were able to provide for them as well yesterday, and some were able to come. But we want you to know, we mourn with you. He was a special man. He was a great man. But you know what? We know he is in heaven. He is rejoicing with the Father. And we talked about it last week. It's a valley experience. But caring isn't simply saying, well, we care. But it is sad. We mourn for them because we know what they're going through. Because all of us have faced loss in life. And whether you're on the mountain peak right now and things are good, praise God. Or maybe you're in the valley. Wherever you are in life, can I tell you something? You'll be at the mountain at one point. You're going to be in the valley too. And the word of God is so clear. We're created to live life as family. We're created to come together. And I get it. We're busy. Life's busy. But if we're going to say we care, we have to live like that. We have to show people, and we have to create an environment that is an environment of family that says we're not perfect. And if you know, there is no perfect family. I mean, some people just have to accept it. Every family has dysfunction. I don't care who you are. If you think your family's not dysfunctional, you probably have the most dysfunctional family. Because every family has it. We all do. Some are better at putting on a show than others, but we all have it. But it's us choosing to say, hey, in the midst of that dysfunction, let's live life together. Let's love each other. Let's care for each other. Let's show each other, not just simply by what we say, but by what we do. You see, our goal is to help all kinds of families in all kinds of situations discover God's design. And catch this, connect them to the family of God. Because there are all kinds of families out there. Different beliefs, different thoughts. You know what they're searching? Here's what they're all searching. Acceptance, love, someone to show them they care. They may be confused in what a family looks like because you know what they're doing? They're just looking for that acceptance. But we want to help all families with all kinds of situations discover God's will, God's design for their life, and then connect them and say, hey, you're a part of our family. Because there is no perfect family. We're dysfunctional. If you're visiting, I hate to break it to you. We're dysfunctional. We're not perfect. If you're looking for the perfect church, well, we're not it. There is no perfect church. But we are going to love each other. We're going to work together. We're going to treat people as they matter. We're going to be a place that begins and ends with family and live life differently. Ephesians 3, 16 through 17 says, I pray from his glorious and limited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and it will keep you strong. Just a word of encouragement. That Paul was, you know who he was writing to? The church in Ephesus. Saying, hey, family, I want you to experience this love. I want you guys to grow deep in the love of God and experience him and know him, that it can change your life. So how do I live this out where it becomes a culture of our church and in my life? That's a question that we've been tackling. Well, it starts with your everyday actions. Because there again, I don't want this simply to be, well, this is just another message, just another statement. Let's make this statement and let's just move on. We truly want this to become a part of our culture. And as you can see through the videos, it's there, it's happening. But we can always get better at it. We can always work at it to become more of a family of God that creates people, that treats people like they matter, and also it shows we care and loves people. Because that's where it happens. That's where life change happens best, is in relationships where we can live life together. So what we've done is we've basically created this process called one by one. One by one. And here's what it basically means, that you're going to choose to basically find somebody who you're praying for. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Someone you know. And we're asking you to begin to pray for them this month. Just pray. Last week we put up a splash screen on our phones, and I have right here on my phone. Every time, it's been great, because every time I picked up my phone and I've seen the name that I wrote down, it says to know Jesus and make him known. And I says, I am committed to praying for, and I have his name right here. Can I tell you? I've talked about praying for people many times, and I do, but I've prayed more for this guy this week than I have in a long time. You know why? I look at my phone a lot, right? And every time I look at it, I'm like, Jesus, help him. Reveal yourself to him. Because I believe that when you pray, that prayer works. Amen? I believe that God will begin to do things that I can't do. So I'm praying that the activity of God will begin to work in his life. And then the next step we talked about is investing in them. Investing. You would invest in somebody and show them that you care, that they can live life with you. I believe mine fell down here. But when you look at this right here, we have cards up here at the front. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you would like one of these, you can come get one. But it simply says this, I'm committed to praying for this individual. I wrote down the same number I have on my phone. But then right here on the back, I put the date that I begin praying for them, February 2nd, 2020. And I'm going to pray that God will begin to work in his life. The next step is not just praying, it's investing, isn't it? It's not just investing in somebody, showing them that you care. Now, what does that look like? Well, we put on here some ideas. It's spending personal time. It's investing acts of kindness. Having lunch or coffee with them. Just showing them you care. Just getting to know them. Maybe it's someone you do know, but you begin to invest time into them, because time is valuable, and we all respect and understand that. And when you'll give somebody some of your time, you know what? They'll respect you for it. The next thing we have is to invite. You can invite them to a group, to a church, to Christ, or maybe just invite them for more time investment. Invite them to coffee, invite them, whatever. But you're spending time with them. And you know what I believe? That as you identify, as you invest, that when you begin to invite, God may give you the opportunity to invite them to church. You may have the opportunity to invite them to a group or to a men's soccer or men's football or whatever. Or maybe you might have the opportunity to invite them to Christ. But if you're actively praying, if you're actively investing, Invitation will come, but it's not treating it as simply just a step process. It's doing what? In the mindset of every person matters, and we want you to be a part of the family of God. And then the last one is to involve them. It's to read Scripture together, to go through a growth track, which we'll be revealing here in a few weeks, to connect to a group or a Bible study. We have men's Bible study, women's Bible study happening every week, to pray together, to begin accountability together. And here's what I'm going to do is each week I put this, every time I begin this process, I'm going to write down the date. And at the end, you know what I want to do with this card? I want to hand it to the guy I wrote his name on there and say, hey, I just want you to know that I care and I've been praying for you for however long it's taken. Because that's who God is. He wants us to join together, not just simply treat people as if they're a number or just another statement, but to value them as people and to care for them. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that for a moment. Before we respond and begin this process of family and taking the step, I don't ever want to move on in a service without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ, or maybe you've been on a journey, you're trying to figure this out, but today something clicked. Maybe the Lord spoke to you and He said, hey, you know what? Maybe you recognize you've seen the family, the love of God through a family or through someone else or an individual. But maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, but today the Lord's just speaking to you saying, hey, I want you to be a part of the family of God. I want you to experience my love. I want you to recognize that I died for you. I care for you. And maybe today you're willing to accept Him as your Savior in your life. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ, or maybe you've experienced Him and accepted Him, but you've just, life's been crazy busy and you've walked away today, you just want to rededicate your life and say, Lord, today I want to choose to rededicate my life to You. So if you're here and you don't know Christ, or maybe you're rededicating your life to Him with no one looking around, we're going to respect everybody here today. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray with you right where you're sitting. But if you would acknowledge today saying, hey, that's me. Pray for me. I want to commit my life to Christ today. I rededicate my life with no one looking around. Would you simply make eye contact with me? I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else here today? Anybody else? Praise God. We're going to pray together as a family. And if that was you today and you made that decision, you're saying, hey, you know what? I want to rededicate my life. I want to commit my life to Christ today. We're going to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Romans chapter 10 tells us that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you are saved. The confession is simply saying, Lord, I confess You are Lord. But the belief is what you choose to do beyond that. It's beginning to walk in the love of God, beginning to allow Him to transform your life, connect to Him. But if you're here and you made that decision today, make this your prayer. Maybe you didn't respond, but the Lord's speaking to you, then pray this prayer as well, because if you believe it, if you confess and believe, then the Bible says you are saved. Let's all join together, if you would, right now, and let's just repeat after me. If you would, say, Dear Jesus, I come to You today and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, the Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing. Will you rejoice with them today? Now the next step is saying, okay, I've committed my life to Christ, but now what do? It's connecting to Christ, but now it's connecting to His body. So you're a part of the family of God. So how do I do that? Well, begin to join with us. We have men's Bible study meets just down the road here at 6:30 on Mondays. Women's Bible study. There's all kinds of things on the websites out there that can help you. You can go to the Resource Center, whatever. We can walk on this journey together where it's not simply just a prayer, but it's a life change. You can begin to discover what it means to be a part of the family of God.